Welcome to A Deeper Look in the Book. This program is brought to you by Bible Way Community Baptist Church in beautiful Irving, Texas, where our pastor is none other than Dr. Timothy J. Wilbert, Sr. This week, Pastor Wilbert bringing a series of studies out of the book of Matthew. So get close to your radio and have your Bible ready as we take a deeper look in the book.
That ends in the grave, that's pretty sad. Yeah. Saying, Master, Moses says, if a man die having no children, his brother shall marry his wife and raise up seed unto his brother. Now there were with us seven brethren, and the first which had married a wife deceased, and having no issue, left his wife unto his brother. Likewise, the second also, and the third unto the seventh. Man.
Good Lord.
And last of all, the woman died. Well, she done had seven men there. By the time she died. Yeah. Wow. Therefore, somebody say therefore.
Therefore.
Therefore in the resurrection, who wife shall she be of the seven? For they all had her. So who why is she gonna be Jesus in the resurrection? Notice. Jesus answered and said unto them, what was the first thing Jesus said? You do error. You off track. You shoal off. Ain't that something? Jesus is telling them right to their face, you shoal off. I mean, you shoal off. I see why you sad. You error. What? Not knowing the scriptures, not the power of God. You off because you don't know your Bible and you don't know the power of God. Mm-hmm. How many of you know, folks? Okay, yeah, we can talk. How many of y'all know that folks that cause a lot of mess in the church, this is why they cause mess.
Amen.
They off.
They off.
Yeah, they off. Mm-hmm. They off because, number one, they don't know their Bible. And they don't know the power of God.
Right.
Yeah, I mean, you have folks that get upset because a person could have a worldly lifestyle. They come in church, they get saved. Then they see them up there in the choir singing. They say, now what they doing up there in the choir? They ain't got no business being up there. Man, you know who that is up there in the choir, don't you?
Yeah.
See, they off.
Right.
Why? Because they don't know their Bible. They don't know about being born again.
Yeah.
Yeah, because when you're born again, the things you used to do, you don't want to do them no more. They don't know the power of God. So since they don't know the power of God, that means that they ain't never experienced the power of God. See, folks that have problems with worldly people coming into the church and getting saved and doing stuff in the church, the reason they got a problem because they ain't saved. No, no. I know that they done been around church all their life, but a lot of people who have been around church all their life, they just know how to have church. They know how to go through the formality of church. They can come up here and they can say, giving all honor to God who's the head of my life. They know how to have church.
Mm-hmm.
Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. See, folks who don't know how to have church, they sit there and the preacher can say something real good and they just so into the word a lot of time. They don't know that they need to help him punctuate that sermon with an amen. Well, glory, hallelujah. Yeah. But folks that have been in church, they can be pulling up their stock and stuff. Amen. Glory, hallelujah. They can punctuate it. Yeah. Yeah, the piano player, he can hear the preacher get to a certain, and the piano player, he start making his way on over to the piano. He know it's time to hip him out. Dun dun. Dun dun. Y'all know what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
Look what Jesus says. He says, for in the resurrection, they neither marry or given in marriage, but are as the angels of God in heaven. But as touching the resurrection of the dead, have you not read, oh my goodness, that which was spoken unto you by God, saying, I am the God of Abraham and the God of Isaac and the God of Jacob. God is not the God of the dead, but of the living. He says, see, you ain't read your Bible. I mean, everybody ought to be done read that story about Moses at the burning bush. That's elementary, my dear. Everybody ought to know that story. God told Moses that, Moses, I'm the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Pull off your shoes, because where you standing is holy ground. Yeah. Notice, God didn't say, I was the God of Abraham, I was the God of Jacob, I was the God of Isaac. He says, I am. And then when he told Moses, Moses said, yeah, but I'm scared to go and talk to Pharaoh. Who can I tell him that sent me? He said, tell him that I am, that I am. He didn't say, I was sent you. God is always the God of the right now. The present tense God. And notice, he spoke of dead folks as being alive folks. Oh, I could preach a funeral right now, just using that verse right there. Yeah. Yeah. Because your loved ones, they in that I am. Mm-hmm. They part of that I am. Mm-hmm. Not that I was. Mm-hmm. They right now. Yeah. God says, I'm the God of Abraham. He didn't say I was the God, past tense.
Right.
Present tense.
Right.
Right now. Your loved ones is right now in the presence of God. They matter of fact, they more alive now than they ever been.
Amen.
Why is that? Because in this lifetime, the Bible says we look through a mirror dimly. Sometimes when you take a shower, after you done took that shower, That bathroom is all steaming up.
Yeah.
And you look in the mirror, you can't even hardly see yourself, even though the mirror is standing right there in front of you. Why you can't see yourself? Because it's all steaming. You have to wipe that mirror. That's how it is right now in this lifetime. You can't really see all of the things that you should see. But once you get on that other side, it's like the mirror done been wiped. You're going to be able to see everything that God was talking. I mean, you're going to see it. You're going to know it. Matter of fact, we're going to know each other right now. We got to introduce ourselves to each other. But when we get to heaven, you're going to know that that's Abraham and Isaac and Jacob.
Mm-hmm.
Remember when Jesus was on the mountaintop with Peter, James, and John, and Moses and Elijah came? Jesus didn't have to say, Peter, let me introduce you to Moses and Elijah. Right. That was just a knowing.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, when you get in heaven, you're going to say, hey, Abraham, what's up, eh? You see what I'm saying? There's going to be a knowing. They are more alive today Yeah. Matter of fact, they waiting on us to get to the other side. When we get there, some of our loved ones say, what took y'all so long? You know what took us? Because we trying to hold on to our last breath down here.
Right.
In a disease-filled body. Mm. When we can get one that's not even made with hands high in the heaven. Amen. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. God is good. God is a good God. But you have mixed up people and messed up people when they don't know their Bible. Amen. 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 Boy, and that's the thing that ticks me off in the church, if people are in position and don't know their Bible. If you're going to be in position, get to know your Bible. That's why our theme, mission statement here at Bible Way is to know God and make him known. That's the most important thing. God didn't call you here to get in the choir and be ignorant. No. People put their position ahead of the knowledge of Christ. That's what messed up church. Because people be thinking, you know, anybody that stand up on their feet in the house of the Lord, they thinking that you know about the Lord. Because you're in the house of the Lord. So since you're in the house of the Lord and you're standing in the house of the Lord, you ought to know the Lord.
Right.
Lord have mercy. Let's go on a little bit further. Let's see if we get this other one. So we see here that Jesus, he answered the tax question, the question about taxes. Then there's a question about the resurrection. And now he's moving to, let's see, did we finish this one? Oh, verse 33 and 34. And when the multitude heard this, they were astonished at his doctrine. But when the Pharisees had heard that he had put the Sadducees to silence, they gathered together. Note, we got to have another meeting, y'all. Scrap two. Then I ran the Herodians. He done ran the Herodians out of church. He done ran the Sadducees. He put them out. Man, we got to have another meeting. Man, we got to get him out. We got. So they plotting again. They plotting again. Look. Then verse 35, then one of them, which was a lawyer. Now keep in mind, a lawyer in Bible days is not like a lawyer today. A lawyer today is somebody that may not even go to church. Mm-hmm. Don't care nothing about church. But a lawyer in the Bible is a person that was an expert in the five books of the Bible. First five books. In other words, the law. The law of God. So they had memorized, you know, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy. I mean, so these was the experts. Now, how would you like to have somebody questioning you that done memorized the Bible? Lord have mercy. Whew. Listen. Let's see. Then one of them, which was a lawyer, asked him a question, tempting him and saying, Master, which is the greatest commandment in the law? Mine, Lord. Yeah. See, the Jews, they believe not only in the Ten Commandments, but they more or less put a commentary on the Ten Commandments, and they had a 615 laws. So out of those 615 laws, which one is the greatest?
Ooh.
That's basically what he's asking Jesus. See, questions like that, that's what lawyers and theologians, they ask questions like that. Yeah. That's a debated kind of thing. So, let's see, can Jesus answer? None of them could. Let's see what Jesus could answer. Jesus said unto them, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment, and the second is like unto it. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. Mm. Without hesitation, Jesus said, hit the top two right here.
Now pick your face up.
How did the lawyer handle that? While the Pharisees were gathered together, Jesus asked, saying, what think of Christ? Whose son is he? Since y'all been asking me some questions, let me ask you some questions. I'm an answer to all y'all. Mm-hmm. They said unto him, the son of David. He said unto them, how then does David in the spirit call him Lord, saying, the Lord said unto my Lord, sit down thy right hand till I make thine enemies thy footstool. If David then called him Lord, how is he his son?
Hello. What?
He done tangled them up. Mm-hmm. I love verse 46. And no man was able to answer him a word. Watch this. Neither doth any man from that day forth ask him any more questions. Class out. Class out. Class dismissed. No more questions from that day fall. Isn't that something? He shut them down. He shut them down. So he answered the question by taxes, the resurrection, and then the great commandment. What can we learn from these study? Number one, we must come to God when Christ calls. We must come to God when Christ calls. We get that from that wedding supper. Jesus made a call. The rich man made a call. The king made a call. And you have to come when he called. You have to come. There was a time that was a cutoff time. We don't know when the cutoff time is going to be. See, number one, we don't know when Jesus is going to come back. But then number two, you don't know when your death day is going to be.
Right.
So the Bible says the day that you hear his voice, harden not your heart. Because God don't have to give you another call. Mm-hmm. Keep in mind, he didn't keep calling these people. He just went on to somebody else.
Right.
So when you hear God call you, you better come. Because that may be your final call. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that may be your last call. So you got to come when Christ called. How many of you know some people done even missed their calling, not for so much salvation as it is sanctification? For a position that God was calling them to do in the church. Mm. Some of them done missed their particular calling. Yeah. So don't take for granted you're going to always be able to do what God is calling you to do. Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's a privilege to serve God. And God is the kind of God that God said, well, if you don't want to come, I just go to get somebody else. God is the kind of God that if he don't see it out here, he'll just make it. He'll just create it. He'll just create what he wants. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So you got to come when God calls. But number two, we must come to God on his terms. It's got to be his terms. Notice, the man God called, all of them, good and bad. Mm-hmm. But once they came, then he gave them all a wedding garment. Mm-hmm. He changed their clothes. And so you can come to Christ, but you can't stay that way.
Right.
You can come an alcoholic. You can come a dope addict. But you can't say that. God is going to put some wedding garment. He's going to change. He's... Mm-hmm. And you got to put on the clothes of his righteousness. Mm-hmm. You can't wear just what you want to wear.
Right.
See, this man here got thrown out the banquet because he wanted to wear what he wanted to wear. He didn't want to change. No. When you come to Christ, it's not so much changing out there. Once you come to him, then you got to be willing to change. How many of you know that's one way you know you done came to Jesus? Amen. You done changed. Yes. And not only do you know you done changed, other folks know you done changed. Listen. If you done came to church and nobody can tell you that you done changed, hello, somebody. Your friends that grow up with you, they can't see a change in you. You better reevaluate that change.
Right.
Amen. We must come to God on his term. And then finally, we must give to the government and to God. We must give to the government and to God. Jesus said it this way, render to Caesar the thing that's Caesar, and give to God what's God. Now, Caesar get his most of the time. Yeah, because he's getting his off the top. Yeah, most of the time. Caesar, as a matter of fact, before you get your paycheck, Caesar already done got his.
Yes. Right.
Because Caesar said, we ain't going on faith. Amen. Because if I don't get it like this, it's going to be force, not faith. Mm. Yeah. At the same time, render to God whatever belong to God. Mm-hmm. What belongs to God? Our time.
Talent and treasure.
There you go. Our talent.
And our treasure.
And our treasure. Mm-hmm. It all belongs to, render that to God. Mm-hmm. Give that to God. Give God what belongs to him. Why is that? Just like there is an image on our dollars, on our quarters, on our pennies, there's an image on your life. Mm-hmm. We are born and created in the image of God. So since we got God's image in our life, we belong to God. God done put his stamp on us, then we need to give our time, our talent, our treasure. Give that to God. Mm-hmm. Amen. And won't life be better for you? I say, won't life be better for you? Because if you're not going to give it to God, you're going to give it to the devil. And guess what the devil come to do? The devil come to steal, kill, and to destroy your life. But Jesus says, I have come that you may have life and have it more. Not just have an abundant life, more. How many of you know God don't want you to have just enough? God wants you to have more than enough. I don't know about you. That's why I'm going to serve.
Amen.
That's why I'm going to serve. Because he's a good God. He's a good God.
Down the glory.
If you would like a copy of the message you have just heard in its entirety, would you please call the church at 972-257-3766. Again, that is 972-257-3766. Or visit our new website at alookinabook.com. Again, that is alookinabook.com. And come on and worship with us this Sunday morning at 11 o'clock at the exciting Bible Way Community Baptist Church. And until next time, let's take a look in the book.